It's time for an episode of Game Changers on the imbalanced history of rock and roll. I'm Ray Kube.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
And we've talked about it as long as we've been friends, how some things, some songs, some bands, some albums, some events change things forever. And that's when we came up with the concept of Game Changers. And this one is not only easy to see on a mass scale, it's very much a game changer for young Marcus and young Ray.
There's no doubt about it. Songs in the Key of Life is one of the greatest albums ever recorded. It is a masterpiece as far as records go. It was created at a time when there was a lot of insanity, a lot of uncertainty in Stevie Wonder's life, and he had no idea where he was going to go or what he was going to do, and he ended up putting this masterpiece together. He was without a record contract. He had just won consecutive Grammys with Intervisions and fulfilling this first finale. And so he was on top of the world. And then he didn't have this record contract and he had to figure out what he was going to do.
It's an amazing position to be in for an artist in that era, right? Now, how did he end up sticking with Berry Gordy and Tamla of Motown?
Well, he was thinking about quitting the music business at this time because he was very unsure of where he was going to go, what direction he was going to go in, and he was actually thinking about emigrating to Ghana to work with handicapped children and do more charity work there because he was really upset with the U.S. government and how our government was handling its business over in Ghana. So he was thinking about going over there for a while and was trying to figure out what to do.
So he's really at a crossroads in his life and his career, and he ends up back on Motown Tamla and sets off to make this album. I think in some ways it's a life-defining event for him. It helps him to find his way forward, to be creative to the nth degree, a progression of all the music that he's been making in the 70s so far. Can we talk about that for a second?
Well, yeah, it was a $37 million record deal that gave him full creativity and full creative control over the music that he was going to put out. So, yes.
Now, knowing Berry Gordy, with as much as we've learned about him, it had to be a pretty damn sure deal that he was going to be okay making that deal. So you knew he had great confidence because of what had led up to this, all right? Now, we've talked about what we call the bridge albums, Where I'm Coming From in 71 and Music of My Mind in 72, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then comes an Age of Consciousness, if you will, with Talking Book and Inner Visions and fulfilling this first finale. All three saying things, making points, and still selling tons of records, right?
Tons of records. He was literally at the top of the world as far as pop and music and soul and whatever category you want to put him in. He was at the top of the world because everybody loved him.
And he was the hippest man in the world. He was so damn cool. It was unbelievable. So that's kind of the stage that's set for when he decides to make what becomes Songs in the Key of Life.
And even though formal recording didn't really get started until 76, in 74 and 75, he'd been stopping at studios along the way and recording pieces here and there, recording songs and working on stuff. In fact, there's an early live recording of what turned out to be Contusion from 1973 at a live performance as well that you can find on the interwebs.
You could never believe that all this material was being created and not tried out in some way. And thanks to YouTube and all the great websites out there, we can find most of it.
I know. We're lucky that so much of it has been archived for us to be able to research, which is so important.
Their mission is part of our mission here on the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll podcast. So multiple studios, Hollywood, L.A., Sausalito, New York, all the big names, Record Plant, Crystal Sound, Hit Factory. He's inducting his own personal army of musicians and singers to help him to make this amazing sound, this amazing thing.
Yeah, the Wonderlove Band really played a big part in this record. And right when he signed the deal with Motown to work on Songs in the Key of Life, he had just gone through the replacement of a bunch of Wonderlove members. And he also kept Michael Cimbello, Denise Williams, and Shirley Brower from before. So he had this group: drummer Raymond Pounds, bassist Nathan Watts, trumpeter Raymond Maldonado, saxophonist Hank Red, guitarist Ben Bridges, and keyboardist Greg Fillinganes. And they were the Wonderlove group that did a lot of the little bits and pieces on Songs in the Key of Life.
But there was like 300 people in total. Did stuff. They got credit, man. There's a whole lot of people out there didn't do a whole lot else that are walking around going, but I was on Songs in the Key of Life, motherfucker. Now, these ladies would have said it nicer, but think about this as a trio of backup singers on Ordinary Pain: Minnie Riperton, Denise Williams, and Syreeta Wright, and tons of other folks as backup singers all throughout the album. And can we talk about Hank Red on the saxophone, the juice that he adds to songs like I Wish and Sir Duke, Black Man and Another Star, or Ordinary Pain? He's a hell of a guy. You got to look him up. Hank Red with two Ds, Marcus. There are people who are the bass of every track on the album, but Dean Parks's guitar on As, absolutely essential. And can we talk about George Benson for a second, Marcus, and his role on Another Star?
George Benson on guitar is a beautiful thing, man. That dude's guitar work on that song is gorgeous.
And he's doing all the doo-doo-doos and his amazing scat vocals along with Stevie. Such great stuff.
Yeah, Stevie did a wonderful job finding musicians that would complement his style throughout the entire record.
That's what the whole thing was, finding the right people in the right place and getting them there so they could make this thing together, piece by piece. And that included a number of pieces from a Philadelphia guy, Michael Cimbello, who you've pointed out in previous podcasts is responsible for the 80s hit Maniac, right?
Absolutely. And man, listening to his guitar in Wonderlove is just insane.
Contributions came from all corners of the world, right? I mean, Michael helped out. He co-wrote Saturn on the EP, which we'll talk about as well. The extra EP, The Overflow, of the bounty of the Songs of Key of Life. He contributed to Contusion and Sir Duke and Ordinary Pain and Joy Inside Your Tears and Another Star. I mean, these guys all got to do a few things, and it added up to the most amazing cornucopia of music. And Stevie Wonder sitting there in the middle of it. Just an amazing thing when it came out. I'll just say that.
Another interesting factoid I found out about this record was that it was originally titled up until the very end called Let's See Life the Way It Is, but he ended up changing the name and settling on Songs in the Key of Life because he was wanting the album's content to represent the entire Key of Life and its indefinite successes, and it was basically a be good to each other message.
That's pretty much the message behind all of it. Everything that happened in his successive albums, telling us what we probably felt already in our hearts, but needed to be told by somebody. Why not Stevie? I briefly mentioned the EP, and I remember when I got the album and I got the discs out that it kind of fell out. I didn't know it was in there at first. It's called a Something's Extra EP, and it was four songs that didn't fit on the album. Saturn, which was co-written with Michael Cimbello, Ebony Eyes, which a lot of people know anyway. It's a favorite all-day sucker, and Easygoing Evening, My Mom Is Called, the instrumental. Kind of like a little bit of a dessert after two full courses with four sides of amazing music from Stevie Wonder. Can we start at the beginning of side one?
Of course, we should.
Love's in Need of Love Today is one of those songs that just touches you right at the core. You know what I mean?
Good morning or evening, friends. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. It's that love in need of love today. Don't delay, send yours in right away.
That song is even more relevant today than it may have been when it was written. It hits you right off the bat because it's accurate. We definitely need more love in our love today.
And before we go forward, I want to point out that the songs on side one all work together. And that's why it's important that Stevie got together with his brother Calvin and wrote Have a Talk with God.
There are people who have let the problems of today lead them to conclude that for them life is not the way. But every problem has an answer, and if yours you cannot find, you should talk it over to him. He'll give you peace of mind. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God.
Wedged in there between that first beautiful song and Village Ghetto Land.
Would you like to go with me down my dead end street? Would you like to come with me to Village Ghetto Land?
The three of them set the stage for what is a passion play about life, love, God, ghetto. And then it goes off, right? I mean, think about how Contusion resets everything, kind of throws everything up in the air without any kind of gravity, and things kind of swirl around. And when you get back down on the ground, you're right there with old Sir Duke. And that song really became not only the battle call to radio and to the world, but reminded a lot of folks of all ethnicity of the importance of our heritage.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands. Well, just because the record has a groove, don't make it in the groove. But you can tell right away that A when the people start to move.
A joyous celebration of music, and that was originally recorded on both 16-track and 24-track machines, and they ended up using the 24-track recording on the album.
Do you think it gave them more rich sound, wide variety of tone?
I'm going to guess that it had a bigger sound, and that is why. And another thing, when you were talking about Village Ghetto Land, there was a brand new synthesizer called the Yamaha GX1. Only 10 of them were made. Stevie Wonder had one of them, and it made its debut on the Village Ghetto Land recording, and it really changed how they recorded with synthesizers. And it's one of those inventions like the Moog or like the electric guitar that just changed music and how they played and did it. And of course, if there's anybody who's going to dig into a keyboard and understand it to its fullest, that is Stevie Wonder.
Wasn't he on the list for a couple different keyboard makers and inventors to get one of the first ones whenever they started making them for, you know, the new keyboards coming out?
Absolutely. I think he got to play them all, and then he would be like, yeah, I like this one, but it doesn't do this, this, and this for me. So, yeah, so I'd bet he was a critique for him in ways like, hey, does this work for Stevie Wonder? And he also played almost all the instruments on those first couple of songs as well, including that wicked harmonica in Have a Talk with God.
And Sir Duke, closing side one, ends up being the third single. It's what's amazing to me when you think back about it. They came out with I Wish and then Isn't She Lovely, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. And Sir Duke, man, it just crushed as a third single it did more than just take care of business. And it closes side one, and on side two, we kick off with the song that was the first single, I Wish, another Stevie Wonder classic.
Brilliant song. I remember hearing this for the first time as a little kid and getting so excited because it was Stevie waxing nostalgia with a little bit of a rose-tinted look at his childhood. And that bass groove line that you hear is done by Wonderlove cat Nathan Watts. That bass line really sets the tone for the song and really makes you want to groove, and you feel so good reminiscing, and such a powerful song. It's a no-brainer for a number one.
It may not have been the biggest hit in the world, but the next song on side two, Knocks Me Off My Feet, is one of my absolute favorite songs in the Stevie Wonder songbook. So beautiful.
I see us in the park, strolling the summer days of imaginings in my head, and words from our hearts told only to
picture postcard ballad for sure, and he can write those types of beautiful ballads like nobody's business. And in those days, he was writing songs like that every day.
You know, he had to be, right? Because if you look at the number of albums in the 70s, and it's like, it must have just been coming out of morning, noon, and night.
The Songs in the Key of Life is his 18th album.
I know.
And he's like 26.
I know. Some people never get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the next song makes him early on one of the most sampled artists, Pastime Paradise. And it is essential. If you haven't heard it, go find it somewhere.
Been spending most of their lives living in a pastime paradise. Been spending most of their lives living in a pastime paradise. Been wasting most of their time. Of ignorance, so disgrace. Tell me who of them will come to be? How many of them are you and me? Dissipation, gracefulation.
This is another one of those songs where Stevie encourages all of us to get our crap together because we are going in the wrong direction. And another one of the songs that he did on that magical Yamaha GX1, those synthesized strings that you hear with that Eleanor Rigby vibe, that's all done on the Yamaha GX1. And the only percussion that he used in this song were cowbells, congas, and stick claps. And I found out while reading about this album that he actually recorded a straighter version of Pastime Paradise with a drum kit, but he didn't like the way it sounded and went with this version that we got to hear instead.
And then he goes the other way on the next song called Summer Soft, and it's pretty much just piano and voice and a few accoutrements, right? And it's another one of my favorite songs on this album that you don't hear on the radio.
Summer Soft wakes you up with a kiss to start the morning off. In the midst of herself playing Santa Claus, she brings gifts through her grave.
Ronnie Foster is the one who plays the organ to complement Stevie's keyboards on that one.
And to close out side two, we mentioned Ordinary Pain earlier, And it really is, looking back at it, like an all-star track. Everybody, all teaming together, including the backup singers and all the percussionists, all top shelf. And what comes out of those sessions to make that is another reason to call this a masterpiece.
When by the phone.
Definitely a song, if you listen to it closely, it's kind of a song of two halves. Part one has that total old school Motown vibe, Stevie Wonder singing about a love gone bad with Minnie Riperton, Mary Lee Whitney, right, and his current ex-wife Sarita Wright doing backing vocals. Then you have part two where Shirley Brewer comes in and she lets her response to Stevie go, and she does not hold back. It is powerful and it is real and it is honest.
It is Songs in the Key of Life, an episode of Game Changers on the imbalanced history of rock and roll. Ray and Marcus talking about what is clearly one of our favorite albums of all time.
And definitely one of the greatest records ever recorded, produced, and put together.
Well, Marcus, we've already played side one, flipped it over, and played side two. While I go put that disc back in the jacket, take out the other disc that has sides three and four, and get it ready to listen and look it over, why don't we get some fresh Boltfoot socks on our feet and head to Crooked Eye and come back with more about Songs in the Key of Life with Stevie Wonder
on the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll.
Here in the wintertime, you still need a great sock because you're going to find a way to work out. Like when it got warm the other day and you told me you were going for a ride, you know, you got to have great socks. And since they started sponsoring our podcast last year, I know when you hit the road, you've got a pair of Boltfoot socks on those feet.
I do. I love my Boltfoot socks, whether I'm riding outdoors or spinning on a spin bike. They wick the sweat off my feet so I don't get that mushy, yucky, swampy foot feel after doing something athletic. And when it's 40, 50 degrees and the wind can drop the temperature down another 10, having a sock like Boltfoot on to keep your foot a little warmer makes a big difference when you ride.
Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I can hear Marisa working out downstairs. And I know that she's got her Boltfoots working overtime when she's working out with Jillian, you know?
Definitely.
Whether you're working out or going for a ride, or if you're an aggressive walker, you got to check out Boltfoot.com.
You can pick your design. They have so many to choose from. And a portion of all sock sales go directly to veterans charities. And of course, all socks are made in the USA.
Veteran-owned, American-sewn. It's Boltfoot Socks. Thanks for the support, gang. It's always great to stop here in the middle of the Imbalanced History podcast and have a little pint at Crooked Eye in the heart of Hapro, pouring the cure for what ails you since 2014, but that doesn't say much about what they are and what they do.
Crooked Eye is one of those brew pubs that is really tight within the community, and you really get a warm, friendly vibe when you walk in there. They've always got music. There's food now because of the Salty Vets barbecue, and they keep bringing out new brews on a regular basis as well as the old standbys.
The winter brews are on the board. Go in and have one and check out some of that Salty Vets barbecue as well. And the entertainment at Crooked Eye, it's always changing, so follow them on Facebook and Twitter.
Grab some friends, grab a date, head on over to Crooked Eye for some lovely beers and wonderful food and great atmosphere.
In the heart of Hatboro, pouring the cure for what ails you, they are Crooked Eye Brewery. And we thank them for their support of the Imbalanced Podcast for about a million years now.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. they have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Time to continue our conversation about the masterpiece that is known as The Songs in the Key of Life by Stevie Wonder. It is the imbalanced history of rock and roll. Alongside my partner in crime, Ray Kube, I am Marcus Goldman, and we are going to continue to roll through this album. We talked about the first two sides before the break, and we are going to continue with side three. Ray?
When we were at Beck Hall at Kutztown State, and this album had just come out, you had to put down the bong, Marcus, and walk across and take out the one disc and put on the other one. And there at the beginning of side three, I never knew when we would put side three on how this song would affect me in the next couple of years and for the rest of my life because of my daughter, Jess. The song, Isn't She Lovely? You don't want to be around when it comes on if I'm in the room. That's all I want to say is fair warning to anyone I know, my friends or whatever. It is one of the most beautiful, meaningful songs to me because, as you know, there is nothing quite like when you see life come into this world. And the first time you see it is unlike anything else you've experienced before that. And that's what that song means to me. And it's a lot.
It was a song written about his daughter, Aisha. The baby that's crying at the beginning is not Aisha, but when he's talking to the baby during the song, those gurgling sounds, those cute little gurgly sounds, yeah, that is Aisha.
Oh, no.
And that's a daddy connecting with his baby, and it is so beautiful. And the label originally wanted to do a radio edit of this song, and Stevie 100% declined and said, I will not cut any of this song out. You can either play all of it or not. And he held to his ground and did not allow a radio edit.
Didn't hurt it any, did it?
Not one bit.
Another favorite on side three is Joy Inside My Tears. Each of the three songs on this side are in longer form than you would say is standard pop fare. 6.5 minutes of Joy Inside My Tears.
I've always come to the conclusion that that is the way of asking for permission to lay something heavy on one's head. So I have tried to not be the one. And baby, that's you made life's history. 'Cause you brought some joy inside my tears.
Such a powerful song it is. A lot more positive affirmations and more in the message that we need to be better to each other, which again, thematically is a very important part of this album.
Seems simple, right?
Very simple. A progressive soul concept album that has a simple message in the keys of life that if we actually do better and make a little bit of effort, the world can be a better place.
If you can see it, it can happen. And sometimes it's visualization or self-visualization that helps. And that's what's behind the next song, Black Man, that actually speaks out and honors all people of color, including the color white. Black Man, Stevie Wonder and Gary Bird working together for the second time on Songs in the Key of Life.
First man to die.
I love the fact that the message in this song is this world was made for all, and it is so true. And
why is that so hard for some people to understand?
Makes no sense.
People who say that, they're so quaint. All right, man, I'm going to flip another side, and we're going to play side four, and it starts with I Am Singing, which I just love. This song, unless you really have listened to the album a lot, you don't know it that well, but I love it every time it comes on. Even though it's on Spotify more often now, or on CD, right?
That Latin groove is a really nice change of pace on the album. And again, it shows not only how important all people are to Stevie Wonder, but music is important in those world beats. And he understands the world beats. And you hear it in this album where he touches on all cultures.
Everybody's in the pot together, man. And I don't know what kind of divine inspiration he got, but I'll tell you what. As with life, Marcus, there's a rhythm to this album, and the way it moves between the songs is part of it, from I Am Singing into If It's Magic, another of the softer songs. It just all flows in the key of life.
If it's magic, then why can't it be everlasting? Like the sun that always shines. Like the poet's endless rhyme, like the galaxies in time. If it's pleasing, then why can't it be never leaving? Like the day that never fails. Like on seashores there are shells, like the time that always tells.
That piano that Stevie plays is gorgeous, and Dorothy Ashby is the harpist on that song, and together it is magic, but he uses magic in this song as a synonym for love.
And the next song doesn't even try to hide it, Marcus. The song is simply entitled As, but there's nothing simple about what's imparted in the song.
As around the sun, the earth knows she's revolving, and the rosebuds know to bloom in early May. Just as hate knows love's the cure, you can rest your mind assured that I'll be loving you always. As now I can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing we'll grow older every day. Born is new, do know what I say is true, that I'll be loving you always.
Until the rainbow burns a star in the sky.
Always.
Until the ocean covers every mountain high.
Always.
Until the dolphin flies and everything that sees.
Always.
Until the moonlight this life becomes a dream.
Did you know the true love asks for nothing?
Yeah, there's sort of a swagger and attitude to this song that I really like, and it really keeps the flow of the album going.
It starts off on the slower side, builds to the chorus, and then takes off on a ride that's so much fun. And to close, side four, Another Star. I mean, the guy must have written 20, 25 songs that were this amazing. And he, you know, kind of pared it down to the 17, I think it is. And then he added four more in the packaging for the early buyers for what the hell, you know? Go ahead, kids, enjoy these two.
And on Another Star, George Benson is who plays that beautiful, beautiful guitar that you hear. And jazz flautist Bobby Humphrey is the one playing the flute. And the way Stevie uses the instruments in the musical pantheon is incredible, because he shows you that every single instrument has a place in the rock and roll tree somewhere. And he uses instruments and arrangements so brilliantly and as close to perfectly as possible on this album.
Like a painter and his palette, he uses every color and every tone of every color in an amazing way. All in one double album, plus a few more songs. Wow, what a ride, man. I don't know about you, but I love this album so much. This is something I've looked forward to doing on the podcast for a long time. I really have.
I hear you, man.
Well, you know, we don't talk about EPs that much because they're not really a thing in the U.S., but Stevie had extra songs and he wanted to get them out there. And I think they called it a Something's Extra, but it's really an EP. I don't know how many albums had the EP of Something's Extra in it, but those who have it probably still have it in their collection. And it included four songs that were not throwaways at all. Saturn, that he wrote with Michael Cimbello, was a really great song.
Lagging my bags, worn away to a place where the air is clean. On Saturn, there's no sense to sit and watch people die. We don't fight our wars the way you do. We put back all the things we use. On Saturn, there's no sense to keep on doing such crime.
That's a song that was originally titled Saginaw, Michigan, as he sang about going back to Saginaw. And Michael Cimbello, when he heard the demo, misheard Saturn and then went back and worked it. And Stevie Wonder was like, yeah, no offense to the people of Saginaw, but it sounds a little bit better as Saturn. And
yeah, I got it.
The interesting, weird thematic thing that stood out to me in the story of the song was that what would happen if we were approached by aliens and guns and Bibles came up in this song and how Americans would handle aliens. It's kind of prophetic or parallel to kind of what we're experiencing today in some ways.
The next song, I think, would have been a number one hit on any album as a focus track or a single, right? Ebony Eyes. Beautiful stuff from Stevie Wonder.
She's a Miss Beautiful Supreme, a girl that others wish that they could be. If the seven wonders of the world, then I know she's got to be number one. She's a girl that can't be beat. Born and raised on Ghetto Street. She's a devastating beauty, a pretty girl with ebony eyes.
That's a honky-tonk jam that Stevie throws down, and Flying Burrito Brother Pete Sneaky Pete Kleinow throws down some steel guitar on that song, too.
So cool. All kinds of people jumping in and helping out, right?
Can you believe all these people played with Stevie?
Yeah. They were lining up to do it, too.
Yep.
Hey, listen. I flipped side 1 to 2. I flipped side 3 to 4. Now I got to flip another one here. It's only 2 songs. We flip it over, and there's All Day Sucker, a good funky jam. And Easy Going Evening, My Mom Is Calling Instrumental, a great way to kind of play us all out here on this episode about songs in the key of life.
Yeah, that's a real fun, funky jam, and the band throws it down hard on that one.
Come on up, you say, 'cause you can feel your love coming down. I find myself rushing over to do something for your love.
So much great music, they couldn't fit it into 4 sides, and it all kind of fits together in a funny way, in its own way. In the way that makes it resonate in a certain key, the key of life. Stevie Wonder's masterpiece on the imbalanced history of rock and roll, an episode of Game Changers, because people were approaching doing a double album a little differently after this. Many were afraid to undertake the task because the bar had been raised pretty high. And after relenting to Paul Simon for 1 year, reclaimed Stevie Wonder's Grammy King Crown.
And that's the famous Grammy speech where Paul Simon thanks Stevie Wonder for not releasing an album that year.
Yeah, it's because he was too busy making songs in the key of life, Paul.
Classic moment.
If you have your classic songs in the key of life moment, send us an email. Tell us about it. You can do that at imbalancedhistory@gmail.com or fill out a comment card on our website, imbalancedhistory.com.
You can also find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll.
Pretty much just type in Imbalance History anywhere and you'll find us. And let us know where you are, where you listen. We can see a little bit of that stuff, but we keep seeing people listening all over this beautiful planet. And we want to kind of all connect together as best as we can. And we do it through the music that we all love. And we thank you for sharing your love of the music with us. And we want to thank our sponsors too, Boldfoot Socks and Crooked Eye Brewery. And till the next time that we can crack the mics together to have some fun and talk about great music here on the Imbalanced History. I'm Ray Koob signing off.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
You are listening to the Imbalanced History
of Rock and Roll.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.